passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good morning and welcome to another Baseball America Hot Sheet podcast. I'm Josh in North Carolina. That's Jeff in Massachusetts. Say hi, Jeff.
Hey.
Yeah, there you go. I said hi. You said hey. Not following directions. Great start to the podcast. You will be admonished once this recording is turned off. But if you're listening to this,
Simon says.
Well, he was, but Simon didn't say anything yet. anyway, if you're hearing this, you know, you're probably taking a look at the hot sheet for this week. It's got a lot of really good players, a lot of really top prospects, some usual suspects, some unusual suspects, and some not suspects at all who put together some incredible feats of strength. Let's start right off the bat with Chandler Redmond, which, holy mother, it's one thing to hit four home runs in a game, but to hit solo, two-run, three-run, and a grand slam is pretty darn impressive. You know, I was joking with JJ that the only way that could get better is if one went to left, one went to center, one went to right, and the other was inside the park. That's the only way you one up that.
He did actually, I watched the game, he did actually go to left, center, and right.
Yeah, he did. He stuck one inside the pole.
He did spray it around the field.
He did. I just thought it was one of the, I'm just trying to think about a way that would be better. And the answer is five home runs, because you might get five at bats. But, you know, it's a momentous accomplishment. And I think I saw a tweet where, like, it's only the second time where anyone can find that's happened. Like, there's been four home run games in the minor leagues. I've seen one. I saw Mike Ford do it.
Oh,
yeah, I've been really blessed with a weird amount of things that I've seen in the minor leagues that would be on a lot of people's bucket lists. But you know, there's only two of them in recorded history. And then somewhere JJ Cooper is saying that we know of. He's a big stickler that you can't, somebody might have
1998. And it was actually a Cardinals prospect at the AA level that did it the last time.
Yeah. Somewhere JJ say, well, you can't discount the 1875 Okeechobee Beaters. Yeah,
they weren't hitting four home runs over the fence in a game. I don't think.
Yeah.
The ball was like metal.
it was just like playing a tennis ball in your backyard.
Oh no. Have you seen some of those old balls? Like, legitimately in like Cooperstown, like, it looks metal.
Yeah. But yeah, like, he's justifiably toward the top of the hot sheet this week. We try to keep it. I mean, when I do the picking, I try to keep it mostly like super top prospects, or guys in the 30s, but like every so often something like that jumps out. And
yeah, Chandler's on the Cardinals 30, actually. I'm a Redmond fan. Like, I'll say this about his profile is he's just, he's got a lot of power, and the bat to ball skills aren't as bad as you might think. He's sort of just like a power donkey type, like, but he's not a bad hitter. And it's weird because he can play like multiple positions. Like, he can handle second a little bit, first base. Like, he's not tremendous there, but he's not as bad as you would think based upon like the bigger 40 year old man dad body that he has. But dad bod slugging, you know, gotta love it.
That's the thing. One of the things I really love about this game is that there is no body type that excludes you. I mean, you could be a rail thin guy. You could be a big, tall guy. You could be a short guy. You could be big and fat. You could be a lot of things. And if you can do certain stuff, you can find a place in this game. Like, it's not like, you know, you're not going to find a 5'7", 145 pound offensive lineman. Or you're not going to find too many. I know there's some exceptions, really short NBA players. You're certainly not going to find a whole lot of big fat NBA players. Hockey, you're not going to find, well, I don't know if this is body type. You're not going to find anybody who doesn't know how to skate. So there's really.
You're not going to find too many heavy guys in hockey either. There's
I think a high level
of physical fitness and conditioning.
Like even if you started heavy, you'd burn it off by the end of hockeying.
I mean, like, you're more or less sprinting for a minute, minute and a half, you know,
and wearing a sweater, you know, you're sweating everything off.
True.
You're sweating to the goalies. But in any case, that's the thing, the dad bod aside, if you can match, you can match, you know, look at what the Mets acquired at the deadline. I mean,
yeah, baby.
Dan, you've got already people mocking up Dan Vogelbach on the cover of Vogue, V-O-G-E. You know, that's Prince Fielder, Cecil Fielder. Big boys who can mash.
Jelly donuts a SWAT, baby.
I mean, this guy,
Babe Ruth.
Think about the two of the purest hitters of our lifetimes. Tony Gwynn, Ichiro Suzuki. Draw me up two more differently physically structured gentlemen.
You could throw Vlad into that conversation, right?
Yeah. Vlad Sr., absolutely.
And Vlad, I'll say Vlad Jr. too.
Well, you know. Those two gentlemen have very different bodies as well.
Yeah.
It comes Mike in all Trout. Sizes, baby.
Mike different Trout body is, types.
Mike, you know, you're not getting a whole lot of Brian Urlacher comps anymore, like Trout got when he was coming through the minor leagues. but anyway, that's a diversion that I didn't expect to take today. Let's move down the list a little further, and I'll talk about a guy I saw on Saturday, Andrew Painter. Wow. It's really not a whole lot left to say except wow. Like, this guy, he's in the top two or three pitchers I've seen all year, and if I really sat down and dissect it, and granted, I have not seen a lot of good pitching this year, he might be number one. You know, Dylan Lesko is up there, and I don't often see a lot of draft guys, but he blew my doors off in the last start he made before Tommy John. Gavin Williams is up there, but I think Gavin Williams is a little trickier just because I was there, but because of the nature of the backfield, I was walking back and forth and didn't really like sit and watch him most of the time. So I discovered how good he was on my own video later. Like, oh, wow, I missed a heck of a performance while I was watching Andrew Abbott carve against Joey Votto. And then him and Dylan Lesko, and there's one, Seth Johnson, formerly of the Rays, traded to the Orioles. He was up there. But Painter was remarkable. First of all, a guy throwing seven innings in this day and age, I can't remember too many guys I've seen go seven innings. And then just to be that size with that body control and that stuff is just outstanding. Dude is 19 years old. He was in high school last year. He's going to be in AA his next turn. And as far as I know, he will be the youngest player to throw a pitch in the Eastern League this year. JJ Cooper, our boss, our benevolent leader, recently updated the youngest players in each league list, and there are no 19-year-olds on the Eastern League list. I know they're, you know, Yuri Perez is AA, you know, pitching at 19, and frankly, McEngwin started 18. But just to think about how far he's come in a year, and to see a guy, you know, sitting 95, 96, touching eight when he needed it, really rationing it when he needed it, you know, flashing that really nasty slider that it's not what you think of when you see a wipeout slider. It's not as hard as you'd expect it to be. It's a really big velocity separation from his fastball. But as one observer pointed out to me, like, it's a little bit of a roller at times, but he has such command that he can start it at certain points and let it roll into the quadrants of the strike zone that he wants, which is really impressive. There's a curveball in there too. And the changeup was pretty good in the few moments that he threw it. But what really he had the three P's: power, pitchability, and poise. I'll explain the last one. Greensboro, their sound director did not do a great job of cutting off the music between pitches before Painter was ready to pitch. And he did not care. He got the ball. He was ready to go. It was like as if he could have pitched that game if you had a fingerless catcher. Like, he knew what he was going to do the moment he stepped on that mound. And just, he had a plan and he was executing it. And he didn't care if "everybody clap your hands" was playing while he was in his windup. So that was a long a way to say, I really, really, really liked Andrew Painter. And it's easy to see why he separated himself as the Phillies' best arm. Have you seen him this year, Jeff? I don't know if you had.
No, I haven't seen Painter yet. I was hoping to maybe catch him, you know, per promotion. So, you know, I get to see a lot of Eastern leagues. So my hope was to potentially catch him in a little bit.
Well, let's see. You know, I'll look up the schedule.
I was looking at it last night. At worst, I can always make a drive out to Reading, stay out in Jersey, and, you know, drive out to that area, Pennsylvania, and back. It's not too far.
Look, there are a few better places to watch a ball game in this country than Reading, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I haven't been to First Energy yet. It's, you know,
again, non-Eugene, Oregon sentimentality division included. Reading is the favorite place I've watched a game in the minor leagues. It's the best. They do it incredibly well. It's kind of cozy. You have to hitter's ballpark, but who cares? It's really just, they don't miss. Their promotions always work. And, you know, four words: crazy hot dog vendor. I'm just saying, if you ever get out to Reading, you're going to see the crazy hot dog vendor and your mind is going to be blown. And then you'll watch Painter and your mind will be blown even further. But wow. Yeah,
this place sounds like Haight-Ashbury in the 1960s. I'm going to blow my mind here.
I mean, did I mention that the crazy hot dog vendor is riding an ostrich? I'm not kidding. At one point, they had live ostriches in the berm over center field. They would,
Did they turn them into hot dogs?
I hope not, but... Why? Ruth and Judy were the best. I love those birds.
They're very high in protein, ostrich meat.
Look, I don't like what's happening right now. So we're gonna move on to later in the list. You wanted to talk about Oswaldo Cabrera with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre rare rivals on this list.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also, they have an Oswaldo and an Oswald. You know, It's like, when does that happen?
Well, for a while, they had two Perazas, both up the middle.
Yeah, they did. That's also true. But yeah, Oswald Cabrera has been a guy that I've really found to be pretty interesting for a couple of years now. He can handle a few different spots in the infield. You know, not that he's as far as I know, what I've seen, I don't think he's a standout defender by any stretch, but can handle a few different positions in the dirt. Decent contact skills. He doesn't chase a ton. I mean, it's a slightly aggressive approach, but it's not anything that's really concerning. You know, he's about a 80% contact hitter in zone this year. He's about a 74-75 contact hitter overall. He's got some juice as well. He's a plus 104, 90th percentile exit velocity guy. He's put up really good exit numbers over the last couple of years. Actually has a 92 mile per hour average exit velocity this season, and that's over 221 plate appearances, so it's a pretty decent sample. You know, creates launch, barrels up a fair amount. It's like a 21%, like 95 plus 10 to 30 degree rate, which is pretty good. And I've felt that, you know, if you make mistakes on fastballs in the zone, he's going to hit you. And he's a switch hitter that has a little bit of pop from both sides. If I remember correctly, I think the lefty pop is better than the righty pop, but I'd have to double check on that.
He's had a small sample this year. He dealt with a shoulder injury that kept him out for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's a really small sample, but he did come back and
still, got still right. still 221 plate appearances. So it's a smaller sample, but it's not like it's 50 at bats. And no, I mean, no, if you go back to last year, like his data, if you remember in the offseason, he was a guy that I had pointed out before too. Like his data has been really good for a couple of years now. Like,
well,
he has a well-rounded skill set. He can make contact. He doesn't chase a ton and he's got some pop in the bat.
Yeah, well, for sure. He's one of their, last year, he was one of their big breakout stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded Diego Castillo and Hoy Park, who were their breakout stars. They got pretty useful piece in Clay Holmes for him, but you know, they did some really good work with him. He got stronger over the pandemic, changed the way he approaches hitting, and then he saw the dividends.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's kind of an archetype that the Yankees do fairly well with. You know, they sort of get these huge Latin classes, right? They sign, I feel like, as many players as anybody does, you know, on the international market. And it's not, you know, they have the big name signings, of course, but it's a lot of these guys that maybe sign for a little bit less money that develop over the course of a few years. And then all of a sudden it's like they pop in Double A and you're like, I didn't know who this guy was, you know?
Right. But with that, we are going to take a quick ad break to regroup and reflect on what we've said in the first half of the podcast. So here comes our ad break right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them, all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And we're back. Okay, so moving later in this list, we can talk about a guy we've talked about a lot. I think you may have heard of him, and I've heard of him. His name is Jackson Churio, and he is currently in high A, and he's a stud. That's really all there is to say about Jackson at this point. He's moved from low A, where he was the youngest player in the full season minors, to high A. I'm not sure he's still the youngest player in the full season minors, but I wouldn't be surprised. I know there's at least one more 2004 baby hanging out there. And he's hit. He's walking more than he did at low A. He's striking out less, and he's showing incredible power. His last home run, he had three this week, was a thing of beauty. Daniel Palencia, who has a pretty big fastball, opened the game with seven straight balls. He walked Darian Miller on four pitches, then went 3-0 to Churio, and responded by throwing 99 miles an hour down the chute, and 99 miles an hour be damned, Churio destroyed it. He hit it 103 miles an hour over the elevated left field wall for his third home run of the week. Earlier in the week, he had a 107 mile an hour exit velocity home run. And if you want to see that from, I think, four or five different angles, You can check out the Brewers player development Twitter feed, because they you know, minor league teams have cameras all over their ballparks, and they just put every angle they had of Chorio's home run together, and it's pretty darn special. You know, I've obviously waxed poetic about Chorio all season long. What have you noticed about old Jackie C, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, the thing that sticks out to me about him is obviously athleticism, the twitch. When you watch the player, like, he passes the eye test. So, you know, whenever I do that, I try to put it to the test, and I take a look at, you know, the numbers and see if there's maybe something there that my eyes can't see, or, you know, I'm working off a anecdotal sort of sample size, which I think we sometimes take for granted when we go and see players, that, hey, I'm only seeing 5 or 6, maybe even 10 games out of a 115 game season for a player. You know, I may not see something that necessarily is always reflective of the bigger picture. When I dig in with Chorio, I think it's funny, because when people have tried to sort of knock Chorio, it's been how aggressive he can be with his approach. But I think when you consider how old he is, his background, the type of player that he is, how frequently guys that are at this level are really, like, hyper aggressive, and he's not hyper aggressive. He's a little bit aggressive. He's passable aggressive. You know, he's at an aggressive level that you wouldn't say he was the most aggressive hitter in the major league. So I think that that kind of speaks volumes. Now, that said, some people bring up the contact rate. It's about average. He's an above average in zone contact guy. So, you know, I think there's still some swing decisions, and I'm just looking at numbers from, you know, in Wisconsin, since he was called up, I think, with the 25th, right? 26th,
something like that. Yeah.
So, you know, he's a guy that makes a ton of contact in zone. So, like, yeah, there are times that he chases and might get a little bit aggressive. He's an 18-year-old in high A. It's going to happen. It's certain pitches he's probably not seen before of that quality or that movement type. Something that's going to happen. I think when you get back to it, this guy's hitting the stuff he's supposed to hit in zone. He's hitting strikes. He's hitting them hard. And I just pulled this up, but he actually has 6 balls that are over 100 miles per hour. Since he's been called up to high A, he has 18 balls he's put in play at 95 plus miles per hour since his call up a few weeks ago. So that kind of puts into perspective, this guy hits strikes. The approach is still developing, but it's not a massive concern. And he's able to put a ride into the ball that you wouldn't necessarily expect from, you know, he's not a tiny guy, but he's not humongous. You know, he's 6'1", 170, 180 pounds. And, you know, he's doing damage like a real power hitter, which he is. So I think when I kind of take a step back and look at Chorio, it's kind of remarkable just how innate his bat to ball skills are. And then his quality of contact when he does, you know, make contact, which is frequent.
Yeah, I mean, he's just remarkable, as is the best way to put it. He's super young. He's in high A. And I noted this stat a couple of days ago in Slack. His Sunday game was his 4th four-hit game of the year. Among top 100 prospects, there are only 3 guys on the list who have more this year, or as many or more. Jonathan Aranda, and this is 4+. You could have 5 hit games in there too. Jonathan Aranda has 4 of them. Alex Ramirez with the Mets has 4 of them. And the leader, Sedane Rafaela of Boston. And I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but he has 5 of them this year. And that's, if you think about it, I think that makes sense for a guy who's, I think, you know, if he's cycled twice or almost cycled twice, yeah. He's got 1 cycle this year. I don't know if he has 2, but yeah. Point is, again, Jackson Chorio is not even 18 and a half years old. He's younger than most of the guys who got drafted out of high school this year.
Yeah.
And he's in high A, and he's putting a whooping on stuff.
And I think the other thing to bring up here, because we invoke a lot of lofty names with him, right?
Mm-hmm. I won't share any of them because I don't do that.
Production wise. But I don't think this is absurd to say. Wander was great. He's got a lot more impact than Wander. Wander might have had the better hit tool, but when it comes to impact hitting,
there's no might about it, by the way.
You know, we talk about Vlad Guerrero Jr. Great hit tool, had impact. I'm not sure that Vlad at this age had as much impact as Chirio did in game, because it really started to show a little bit more, you know, later in Dunedin. And then even like in New Hampshire, it took 3 or 4 weeks for him to really find it. I know it's cold up there, but you know, you look at this and you think, hey, and this guy's a center fielder. He's just that rare combination of twitch and just explosive ability. Like, he can generate torque in a way that most prospects can't. Now that we've had our Chirio hour, I had a couple of pitchers I wanted to just
we gotta go quickly. We're running out of time on this here.
No problem. Meeting. Well, I'm gonna bring up two different guys who participated in separate combined no-hitters last week. One being Prelander Baroa, who was acquired by the Mariners for Donnie Walton.
Yep.
Back in the beginning of the season. That's a heck of a trade. And Baroa is really interesting arm, super powerful. He's been up to 102 with the fastball. He sits like 96, 97. Got a ton of hop on the fastball. He's got a really interesting slider that doesn't have like a tremendous amount of movement, but a fair amount of movement for how hard he throws it. It sits like 87 to 89 miles per hour. It's a really powerful two-pitch mix. He does throw a changeup, but I think he's thrown a changeup maybe once a start throughout the seasons. He's only got a handful, maybe about 15 to 17 of those all year. Really interesting arm. I think he's a reliever long-term, but he could be a really good one. Just with that powerful two-pitch combination, he's a guy, you know, 22 years old. You could even see him up in the big leagues, you know, as early as maybe next summer, just as a power pen guy for the Mariners or wherever he ends up. And then the other guy is Mason Englert, who was drafted back in 2018, had Tommy John surgery, then had the pandemic following that. So it took him pretty much 3 years for him to make his major league debut, professional debut. He's had a couple of decent seasons now. Like, he's got an ERA under four, over 170 plus inning stint, got about 200 strikeouts. So he's averaging about 10 strikeouts per nine innings. They do it in very different ways. You know, we talked about Baroa and how Baroa's ability is really heavily based off of that two-pitch mix and how powerful it is. Englert just commands four different pitches that I thought it was really interesting. One of the stats that I pulled in the hot sheet was that he actually had 4 to 6 whiffs on three different pitches. He had, I think, like 6 whiffs on his fastball, 5 whiffs on his changeup, and 4 whiffs on his curveball, and then had a whiff on his slider as well, which he just doesn't throw as much. But he's a player that has legitimately 4 pitches. He'll throw them in different counts. He sequences really well, commands his stuff pretty well, and kind of an interesting off the radar pitcher. I watched the last start when I was writing it up, as I often do, and I was pretty impressed. He was a guy that I hadn't dug in much and hadn't thought about since he was drafted, but kind of an under the radar, decent starting pitching prospect, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if anybody in the Baseball America roster knows pitchers, it's Jeff. He is the pitcher whisperer. we trust him implicitly on young arms, but we are running out of time. I don't know what that look was for, Jeff. You saw it. That was very strange. But anyway, that's pretty much all we have for the week. We have more to say, but Zoom disagrees. So for Jeff in Massachusetts, I'm Josh in North Carolina, saying see ya.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.